Julie Mascaro, writing in the LA Times, the rush to finish the GOP tax overhaul has hit a snag as Republicans grapple with substantial differences between the House and Senate bills and pause to consider unintended consequences of the most massive rewrite of the tax code in a generation. Let's talk more about that massive rewrite with Wayne Weingarten, who's an economist with the Pacific Research Institute, managing editor of EconoStats Project. He is tweeting at Wayne Weingarten and joins us now. Wayne, thanks for being here today.
Oh, good morning. Thanks for having me.
Give us a sense of what you think the Republicans should come up with, and then maybe we could talk about what you think they will come up with. What's to like about this tax reform bill, do you think?
The most important thing to like about the bill are the corporate tax reforms. The U.S. corporate income tax system has been so globally uncompetitive for so long, and that's why we've seen so many jobs moving overseas. That's why we've seen the inversions where companies that are U.S.-based companies buy small little companies in places like Ireland, and that way they become a new company in Ireland, no longer in the U.S. All of those kind of movements where you see this capital and investment going outside of the U.S. is because of our global uncompetitiveness of the corporate tax system. And so that reform is the most important reform that they're doing. Getting it down to 20% at the federal level makes us competitive once again. The expensing provisions, all of these kind of reforms, and these are true reforms, would make the U.S. economy much more globally competitive. And when they come out of conference, these reforms, they need to be improved, but at bare minimum, you know, that's what we really need to see at the end of conference.
What do you think needs to be kicked out?
A lot of the income tax provisions really aren't reform. We're kind of shuffling on the personal side. We're kind of moving chairs around on the deck, but not making substantial differences. We need to broaden the tax base, and that's where we get the removal of the state and local tax deduction and all of these other changes. But what we're not doing when we're doing that is lowering the marginal tax rates. We're not simplifying the system enough. And so there's a lot to missing on the personal income side, a lot of complications. And then the other thing, we're kind of like a dog chasing our tail because we're looking at income tax reform, right? Personal income tax reform. And we're trying to figure out how can we benefit middle and lower income class families. Well, people at those income brackets don't pay personal income taxes. They pay payroll taxes. And so we should have ideally brought those taxes into the mix as well. And that way we could have had a more kind of rational reform, but also provide real tax relief across the income scales.
There is a difference, although not a major one, between the House and Senate version on state and local tax deductions. What do you think should be the final revision of that? What should that look like?
The final revision, ideally, if we're still in the world of ideals, we should actually have no state and local tax deduction, but we also should bring down the marginal tax rates. That way you have some more tax relief at those levels, right? If we got that down to 35% or 30%, whatever the number is, then that would obviously reduce the taxes for people in New York, California, and offset the burden of losing that tax deduction. So, and then it becomes a state and local issue, right? California has a spending problem, needs to address that. So at the federal level, again, broaden that base, get the rate down a little bit so that you give them the offset and then kick it to the state to address the fiscal problems they're having.
Once again, Wayne Weingarten with us, economist with the Pacific Research Institute. Wayne, one of the provisions also that was in the Senate that was not in the House was an elimination of the personal mandate for insurance under the Affordable Care Act. Some Republicans in the House have said they would like to see that stay. What's your sense of that?
You know, the personal mandate makes no sense. You know, the way we went about reforming health care with the Affordable Care Act, you know, Obamacare, was wrong, and we needed to address that. So, you know, from that perspective, you know, all of that is good. I think from a political perspective, we're adding a lot of complications again. And so, you know, the political wisdom of that, you know, I think I'd have to question whether or not that was the correct way to go, because now we're bringing back all of the issues that we just addressed poorly, you know, earlier in the year. So, again, from a healthcare reform, certainly, you know, the mandate makes no sense, and getting rid of it is a positive thing. I'm just not sure how it fits in well, how it advances the goal of getting true tax reform.
The one problem with it, according to some conservative, fiscally conservative Republicans in the House, is that taking that away means that now we have to come up with the money for the subsidies, which we still have to pay at this point because the Affordable Care Act has not been repealed. And therefore, we add more to the debt and the deficit. And you got to wonder, I guess, what these fiscal conservatives feel about passing a bill that will do so much to drive the debt up.
That is a real concern. Debt is a real problem. And from that perspective, absolutely, the mandate repeal is helpful. But, you know, on the flip side, you know, trying to make this Rubik's Cube work, to go with that expression, you know, I think we drive away as many votes as we bring. And so, you know, when you're talking about that political calculation, where do we net out? When you're talking about the deficit, which is the real issue, you know, one, we're going to get a little bit more growth than some of the people give credit for. That'll still leave us with a deficit or a higher deficit from the plan, not as high as probably the current budget counters are predicting. But the deficit's a spending problem, right? And so we need to treat it as a spending problem and not as a revenue problem. And that needs to be a sort of business.
And finally, do you think there's a challenge politically, maybe, rather than economically, for making the tax breaks for individuals temporary, but the tax breaks for business permanent?
Economically, it doesn't make any sense to make the tax breaks temporary, right? That's all about the budget rules in Congress. So, you know, economically, you would never say, let's give a tax break for just 5 years. People don't plan that way. And generally speaking, you would imagine 4 years from now, they're going to extend those. So, you know, then we get to the issue of, you know, are they really temporary? But politically, obviously, it looks terrible. This is all trying to force this square peg into the round hole of $1.5 trillion, right? And so these are the games that have to be played. So, you know, politically, it makes, you know, it doesn't look good. But by the budget rules, these are the games that have to be played.
We will see how the games play out after a while. Wayne Weingarten, thank you for joining us on POTUS.
Oh, thanks for having me.
Wayne Weingarten is an economist with the Pacific Research Institute, also the managing editor of Econostats Project, giving us his thoughts on the plan that the Republicans and Democrats will have to work out in conference. That is the House and Senate. We'll have to have some committee members who will work out the differences between the two versions of the bill and come up with one that they can send to the president. Wayne is tweeting at Wayne Weingarten, Wayne, Weingarden.